Pentecostal church, but they do that in all churches and denominations, so it doesn't really matter which one you go to. And some's just more organized. Hallelujah. 16 and verse 1, and the Pharisees and Sadducees came to test him. They asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He answered them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. So he left them and departed. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. And Jesus said to them, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, we brought no bread. But Jesus, aware of this, said, oh, you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000, and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And I want to preach for a few minutes today. Beware of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We're going to be hearing more from the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And I don't want to keep repeating what I've already said about them. And I want to try to tease the nuance out of the scriptures. Why would Matthew keep returning to this subject over and over again? And it's interesting. You know that we know that Matthew was obsessed with heaven. And here we have another instance where Matthew picks up on something that Jesus is trying to get across. They came asking for a sign from heaven. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, beware of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The saying is, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Jesus was really shaking up the status quo in Satan's kingdom for these two groups of people to come together with a singular purpose. There's only one thing that will bring the forces and the powers of darkness and Satan together in unity. And that is when they're trying to shut down what Jesus is doing. Why is revival so hard? Why are the pressures of renewal so great? Because that's the only time that the devil can be unified. He brings everybody together to shut down what Jesus is doing. But aren't you glad that I preached several weeks ago that you can't stop what God is doing?
Amen.
It may get harder, but you can't stop it. A Facebook post that I read this week said, I would rather hang out with sinners who are rough around the edges than a bunch of religious hypocrites. Let me tell you, they're just different sides of the same coin. One group uses their sin to show their rebellion to God, and the other one uses their self-righteousness to show their rebellion to God, but they both serve the same God. And his name is Satan. These groups despise one another openly, but secretly they need each other to deal with what each party considered the distasteful aspects of society. The Sadducees didn't want to get involved in the supernatural and spiritual, and the Pharisees didn't want to get involved in the government and the money type issues. But they had this uneasy alliance between the business political class and the ultra-religious class of people. Secretly, they needed each other. Listen to what Jesus says about the Pharisees in the book of John. I want you to think that I'm preaching outside of the Scripture today. It says in John chapter 8, verse 39 through 45, they answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. Hear what I'm preaching to you today.
Yes.
You've got to beware the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Yes.
And there's all the teaching you need to know to get what I'm preaching right now, right here in this Scripture. If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why don't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth. Everybody say, no truth.
No truth. No truth.
Do you know what that feels like? Do you know what that sounds like when it presents itself to you? Can you feel the darkness of it? There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Jesus said the Pharisees' father was the devil. Yeah. Hallelujah. You better beware of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees were living a religious lie. That if you follow the right list of rules, you will surely be saved and prosper under God's favor. But they willingly ignored any rules that dealt with the blackness in men's hearts. And with their power threatened, they were ready and willing to commit the atrocity of murder for which God previously flooded the entire planet and destroyed every living thing. Because the Bible says in Genesis that violence filled the earth. This put them squarely in the same corner as the Sadducees, who were also called Herodians by John Mark in his gospel. They had absolutely no concern for the afterlife and were totally committed to doing whatever it took to get ahead in this life. And they were easily aligned with King Herod, who came from quite the lineage of rapacious leaders. Matter of fact, Jesus called him the fox. So here they come. The children of Satan and the children of the fox. What an alliance. How true the saying of Tertullian, Christ is always being crucified between two thieves. And what line of attack did these two groups use? They came looking for a sign from heaven. There was a belief that earthly signs could be perverted and produced by evil powers, but only God could give a sign from heaven. Boy, in the days of the Antichrist, aren't they going to be surprised?
That's right.
And their search for signs only highlighted their wrongheadedness about Jesus, the Messiah, because signs only reveal what's already in our hearts. We've already established that miracles do not increase faith, but are a direct result of faith. If we have faith in our hearts, then signs will strengthen our faith. If we have doubt in our hearts, then signs will strengthen our doubt. And these men, of course, were proof enough of that, because they would eventually crucify Jesus.
Right.
No matter the miracles that he did, no matter the dead that he raised, no matter what happened, they became more entrenched and intransigent in their doubt. Just like Pharaoh in the days of old when God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. No matter how many miracles Moses and Aaron performed, Pharaoh just hardened his heart all that much the more. Signs weren't going to change the condition of their hearts. Oh, Jesus, we'll believe in you if you'll just do this. That's a bunch of hogwash. You know what hogwash is? Hallelujah, it's what you use to clean a pig. Oh, Jesus, we'll just believe in you if you'll just do this. That's a bunch of baloney. Amen. Jesus said you can predict the weather. It's hard for me to imagine how some people can be so insightful about so many things, but simultaneously be so oblivious to the most critical spiritual juncture in the plan of God. Amen. That we're clamoring for God to give them a sign. Yeah. Let me tell you something right here. Now, I'm kind of quiet down a little bit here today. I feel worked up, but I'm preaching quiet. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me tell you something today. God is not beholden to us to prove himself to us. He is God. It's not God's responsibility to cure our doubts and lack of faith. Our faithless and disobedient hearts are our own problem. Matter of fact, the Bible says God demands that we try him. But it doesn't mean what they think it means. It doesn't mean to come to him doubting. It means to come to him obediently. Yes. Malachi said, try me and see.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How do you try God? You obey his commandments.
Yes. Yes.
Bring your tithes. Oh, your tithes into the storehouse and see. Try me and see if I will pour you out a blessing. Bring your sins to the altar and repent and see if I won't forgive you. Bring your sickness and your pain and your problems and your situation and cast them at my feet and pray in my name and see if I won't heal them. God demands that we try him and prove him. And that means that we have to take him at his word.
Amen.
It means that we have to obey his commandments. God doesn't obey us. He doesn't follow our commands. But it's the other way around. And without faith, the writer of Hebrews says, it is impossible to please God. But whoever comes to him must believe in him totally and search for him diligently. And he said, I will reward you.
Amen.
Jesus said, he'll reward you openly.
Amen.
I love to read about the Jews in the city of Berea, when Paul's revival caravan got there and they went to the synagogue and started preaching about Jesus, that the Jews there, the Bible said, were more noble because they began to diligently and sincerely search the scriptures to find out the truth about this man Jesus. But these Pharisees and Sadducees couldn't care less about finding the truth. You hear what I'm preaching to you today. Part of living the gospel is understanding that the Pharisees and the Sadducees are dangerous. That their teaching and their preaching is dangerous. That it eats away, the apostle said, like cancer in our hearts. They didn't care less about the truth. They were fearful of their earthly positions and possessions, and their only goal was to discredit their notice what I said, their only goal was to discredit their Messiah. And that was the real sign. These guys right here were the ones that coined the term, not my Messiah. They were the original never Christers. The political joke all their day. Hallelujah. Well, this sermon doesn't seem like it's exciting.
Yes,
friend, it ain't never exciting to preach about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I'm sad to tell you. That's why they call them sad, you see. Because they didn't believe in the afterlife. Hallelujah. It's never exciting to preach about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We can laugh at them, we can make fun of them. But the truth is, they are deathly evil. And they are in the church today. The Apostle Paul said, I'm warning you now. that at my departure, fierce wolves will enter into the church, and not sparing the flock, some even of your own selves. So we need to study them, and we need to understand where they're coming from. We need to understand the spirit that is behind them, and we need to learn how to discern it and resist it. Sometimes the only thing you can do with it is turn around and walk away. What did Jesus do when he got done talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees? The Bible says he turned and he left them.
Yes. Yeah.
The apostle said, don't waste your time in vain debates and babblings and discussions and all sorts of things that only will crush your faith and destroy your faith and destroy your soul. It'll leave you hurt. It'll leave you beat up. It'll leave you wounded. And you'll never be the same. And your faith will never recover itself. Beware of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the dark teachings that they bring into the church. Show us a sign. The most consequential sign ever given by God. Spoken many times in many ways, in diverse ways, and through many people, through men and through angels, throughout the ages. But in these last days, God has spoken to us through His Son.
Amen.
The most consequential sign ever given by God was standing right in their face. But they could not see Him, and they didn't get Jesus. Show us a sign from heaven. Jesus was the sign. Jesus was the sign. Hallelujah. Jesus was the sign. If you don't get that sign, you're not going to get anything else. If you don't get Jesus, you ain't got nothing. If you don't get Jesus, you don't pass go, you don't collect $200, you go directly to jail. If you don't get Jesus, there's no way to get to the Father. There's no other way. The only way is you got to get Jesus. He's the sign. He's the only way to the Father. He's the only name that can bring salvation. He's the only one. He is the sign that the world is looking for. And He's the only sign that they need. How is it that people in our day and our time come and they come to an altar and they cry tears and they get up and wipe those tears away and they live the rest of their lives believing in God? How is it? Because Jesus is the sign.
Amen.
So many uncanny prophecies were being and predictions about the Messiah were coming to pass right before their eyes. And they not only were clueless, but whenever they thought to get some light or they thought that there might be some truth to something happening, they vehemently and violently opposed it. It said in Luke chapter 2, 34, 35, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign, everybody say a sign, for a sign that is opposed and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. These Pharisees and these Sadducees were not paying attention to the signs. There were priests and prophetesses in the temple waiting for Jesus to show up. And buddy, when Joseph and Mary walked in one day with the baby Jesus in their arms, they got triggered right there on the spot. Hallelujah. Old women started shouting. It don't say that in the Bible? I said old women started shouting when Jesus, when Mary, Joseph and Mary brought that little baby Jesus. The Bible said Anna the prophetess came out. Woo! I see the Messiah. And we're talking about Middle Easterners here, folks. They're not Americans. Oh, I think that's the Messiah. Did you hear? I heard it on the WFIW. The Messiah was at the temple. No, that's not the way the Jews did things. They were fiery people. They were emotional. They couldn't do anything quietly. That's why when they walked around the walls of Jericho, God had to tell them to shut up. And Simeon grabbed the baby. He grabbed the baby. This is the sign. God told me, I would not die before my eyes lay hold on the Messiah, the King, the Son of David to come. And he lifted him up and circumcised him and blessed the God of heaven. Now I'm ready to die and pass on to my reward. How come they could not discern the times and the signs that God was bringing? The prophet Isaiah in chapter 7, verse 10 through 14 says this, and again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. And the prophet Isaiah said, hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which the New Testament writer said, being interpreted, is God with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
How could you not know that God is standing in front of you? You better heed what I'm preaching to you today, church. You better know when God shows up and is standing in your face. You better know when the presence of the Holy One shows up in your situation. Let me tell you something, our prayer warriors know. Amen. We can come in here all carnal, weak and tired and sick and everything else. And we can wrestle around and pray and go through our lists. But baby, we know when God shows up. Hallelujah, there ain't no music playing. Amen. I said there ain't no music playing. There ain't no fancy sermon preaching. But when Jesus shows up in the house, amen, somebody might be in the room in the back and you hear somebody start speaking in tongues. Somebody's in a room on the side. Somebody else starts speaking in tongues. Somebody in the back starts speaking in tongues. Somebody in the middle of the front starts speaking in tongues. Sister Martha, we know when God shows up. Amen. Beware. And the Sadducees and their teachings, because they will steal the joy and the faith and the power of God from your life. So there's the sign sitting right in front. Talk about missing your exit. Do you know why people miss their exits? They miss their exit because they're not paying attention. They are talking to someone or looking at something other than where they are supposed to be going. And even your pastor has that problem. Hallelujah. One of the rules on the school bus is do not talk to the driver. Why not? Because when you talk to the driver, it distracts them. And they will inevitably miss a stop. And when you miss a stop, it's a whole ordeal. You got to go down, turn around, go back, drop off the child, and turn around again. And now you're behind schedule. The last thing you want to hear when you're driving down through your route is when they come over the radio and say your bus number. Oh, no. I got to turn around and go back. They were distracted. They weren't focused on the coming of the Messiah. They were missing the signs, and no end of trouble was going to result from their inattentiveness. And to make matters worse, the mass of Jewish citizens were following their teaching and their guidance. And it's no wonder that Jesus said in chapter 15 that they were blind leading the blind, and they were both going to fall into the ditch. I want to ask you a question today. Are you about to miss your exit? Are you about to drive right by on your opportunity? Are you about to... Friend, we need to fix our eyes on the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Yes.
And we need to start being able to discern what's going on around us and what God is doing and what the devil's trying to do to stop it and be able to discern between the two and land on the right side. I like what Moses said in the wilderness. Who is on the Lord's side? The Pharisees are going to drag you into this pompous, super religious attitude, and they criticize and nitpick everyone else's church and denomination with a relentless zeal. They're the only ones with the right interpretation of things, and they elevate angels and demons into some sort of Grecian pantheon, and they dominate and control their adherents with their adherence with a narcissistic streak. We need to be careful that you do not succeed in convincing us and deceiving us. Jesus said to these Pharisees, you travel the whole entire world time and again, and you take and make a disciple, and you make them twice as evil as you are. You make them twice the child of hell that you are. We need to beware of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees when they come criticizing, when they come nitpicking, when they come with their narcissism and they come with their control and domination. I put my hand, you can ask the people that are in the people that are close to me and that are in this church today, and they'll tell you that when anybody comes up, I'm easy going. Hallelujah, as long as everything goes my way, I don't ever cause no trouble. But it's not my job to do God's job. It's not my job to tread where God doesn't. It's my job to preach the truth. It's my job to lift up the weak. It's my job to impart and to equip and to strengthen the church so that it can do all that God meant for it to do. It's not my job to tell you what color socks to wear. If you've got a brown one on, a black one on today, hallelujah, God bless you. If you don't have any socks on today, hallelujah, God bless your neighbor. It's not my job to do those things. We need to beware the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Amen. And the Sadducees will come and they'll encourage you to indulge your fleshly appetites. They'll stir up your envy of others and your love of money. And they'll crush your faith in the afterlife and glorify only things that they can accumulate in the here and now. They'll laugh at the concept of treasures in heaven. And they'll brag of their willingness to sell their soul to the devil for a drink from the harlot's golden cup. But we need to be careful, folks, that we don't desire their dainties and pursue their wealth and find ourselves pierced through with many sorrows. Beware the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We stand together today. I know that I'm going to cut this message a little bit short. There needs to be understanding in the church. There needs to be knowledge and insight. Jesus said that we should be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Hallelujah. That almost sounds like the Pharisees. It almost sounds like those two things will be able to be coupled together to counteract the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus said, do what they say, but don't do like they do. Do you see Jesus? Are your eyes on the sign? Oh, there's so much going around today. There's they send you videos. Check this video, watch this video, look at this video on YouTube, watch this preacher, look at that preacher. And if you can get past the 80s hairdos and the polyester suits, and if you can get past all that, and you start listening to what some of these guys are preaching, you're like, what is wrong with you? And your spirit is like, I feel a Sadducee coming here. Oh, worship God. and live for Him, and He'll bless you. Wait a minute. It sounds like a twisting of Scripture there. It sounds like you're focusing more on materialistic blessings and things of this world than you are on the spiritual realm. We need to be careful what we listen to. Oh, listen here. Let me tell you that there's this angel, and his name is so-and-so, and he's got such and such angels underneath him, and God's got all these angels. Last time I looked in the Bible, there was only two angels with a name on them. Where all them other dudes come from? Oh, well, we're best friends with them. Hallelujah. Well, I ain't being best friends with you. Well, you've been talking to angels, did you now? What did they tell you? There's a spirit behind that. It's a spirit of deception. It's a lie. It's the spirit of Satan. What am I doing? I'm mixing together the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because they will come together for one purpose. When they see revival, when they see Jesus rising up in people's hearts, they are going to gather together in unity, and they are going to do whatever they can to crush what God is doing. Beware the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. If something don't sit right in your heart, and the Holy Ghost starts talking to you and say, "Don't listen to that lie," you better take a step back.
Amen.
Healing, signs, miracles, wonders. We pursue all of those things. But you better be careful when they come preaching. Look what I did. Look what I did. I did this. I did. Look what I did. Look what I did. You better be careful. Because the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees is sneaking into the church. And those fierce wolves are sneaking into the church. And I don't know who this is for today, but I know, because God assured me, there's going to be somebody in the house today that desperately needs to hear what this scripture says. There's only one sign that you need. And if you don't get your eyes on it right now, you're about to miss your destiny. If you don't get your eyes on that one sign right now, you're about to drive right past your opportunity. If you don't get your eyes fixed on the way, the truth, and the life, you're going to wake up and realize that there's nowhere to turn around. How do I get back to that place? I felt God moving in my heart. Something distracted me, and I got my eyes off Jesus, and I sank and drowned in doubt and discouragement. Hear, church, today. Amen. What may be happening to somebody right now, or maybe getting ready to happen to somebody, that you're going to feel the temptation to hear these people out, that you're going to feel the temptation to jump off the bandwagon and do something else. You better hear what I'm telling you today. Jesus is the sign that you need. If you don't sense Jesus in what they're saying, then you need to reject it and walk away from them. What I want to hurt their feelings, baby, they want to drag your soul to hell. You better wake up and stop worrying about their feelings or your feelings or anybody's feelings, and start worrying about the condition and the destination of your soul.
Amen.
Beware the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're always asking for more, and they're never satisfied with what they've got. Isn't it true that the people you do the most for always appreciated the least? And who did God do more for than the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Some of you, as I begin to close and just come to the final moments here and start to make the announcements, there are some of you that are you find yourself sometimes caught in that battle, caught in that tug of war. But you feel like, I don't really belong here with the Pharisees. I'm not this ultra controlling religious narcissist, but I don't really belong over here with these Sadducees and these people that are just interested in money and political power. And I don't really feel like I belong with any of these groups. The reason why you don't feel like it is because you don't. You keep doing what Jesus calls you to do.
Amen.
You keep pursuing the goals that He has set in front of you. You stand firm on the truth that He has revealed to you. Walk away from those doubts, from those thoughts. And if you're still unsure of yourself, bring those to Jesus. Let's bow our heads right now. You've heard some things, some theology, some ideas, some teachings that have come down the pike, quote-unquote new insights. That's how it's often prefaced, right? And if you hear a preacher or a minister start to preface, they got some new idea or thought, you better just stop right there. Let me tell you something, ain't nothing new under the sun, baby. There ain't nothing that hadn't already been revealed to many generations gone by. If you've caught a hold of some of this new teaching, you need to step back right now and bring it to your prayer closet and lay it out to God. Say, this is what they're saying. God, what do you say about it? And let God speak His truth into your heart. And I'm telling you, if you'll do that, it will charge you up like you haven't been charged in years. It will increase your faith and release the power of God in your ministry like you haven't felt in a long time. Bring that lie of the Pharisee. Bring those perversions and passions of the Sadducee. Bring them to Jesus and say, Jesus, what about this? You stay there and you pray there until Jesus answers you with His truth. And I'm telling you, it will turn your world upside down. And you'll walk out of that prayer closet with your head held high, with your chest stuck out, with a firm step like you haven't had in years. Hallelujah. Let's keep our heads bowed for just a moment. Pray right now. Lord Jesus, I know that we're bombarded every day. The news media.